2 Kings chapter 15. We're going to cover quickly on some of these kings and then see the destructions of the nations of Israel and being taken captive to Assyria. So now chapter 15, verse 32, in the second year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, began Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he did according to all that his father Uzziah had done. Howbeit the high places were not removed, the people sacrificed and burned incense still in the high places. He built the higher gate of the house of the Lord. Now the rest of the act of Jotham and all that he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the king of Judah? In those days the Lord began to send against Judah Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah the son of Remaliah. And Jotham slept with his father and was buried with his father in the city of David his father, and Ahaz his son reigned in his stead. Now that is just a short history about Jotham. But he was a good king anyway, as we know. The only problem is that there's always the high places. Not the high places, many times, were never removed by any king at all. If they were removed just a short while, and some other king will come back with this. Because people have entered into idolatry. Not just the northern kingdom of Israel, but the southern kingdom of Judah. It's so widespread now. Alright? But Uzziah did was right in the eyes of the Lord. It was during his reign that we see this king of Syria, Rezin, came down, not only against Judah, but also against the nation of Israel. So chapter 16 now, we see Ahaz's reign. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. So that means to say by 20 to 16 years of reigning, he died around the age of 36. And did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, his God, like David his father. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. Yea, and make his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord God cast out from before the children of Israel, and he sacrificed and burned incense in the high places, on the hill, and under every green tree. Now, let us look at the chart, if we can, just to remember the king, the orders of the king. Alright? You see here in the south, which we're talking about, just enlarge that, we have Jotham. Alright. Uzziah was the father of Jotham, and Jotham's then reign, and then Ahaz now. Now, of all the king of the southern kingdom, Ahaz was the worst king. He was the worst. He was the worst of all the whole lot. Now, the worst king over in the northern kingdom, you know who was the worst, was Ahaz. Other than that, there were also others. Alright? So, we have down in the south was Ahaz. You know what it says in the Bible here? He did not do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Not only that, he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. What was the way of the kings of Israel? They worshipped Baal, a whole lot of Baal worship. And he prayed to this god called Moloch. Or Chemosh is another name. This is God that requires you to sacrifice to him, your son. There are two ways, as the Bible here says, walk, make his son to pass through the fire, as a form of dedicating the son to the God. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 28, turn over to that. 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 3. It says here, Ahaz also burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burned his children in the fire, after the abomination of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So, not everybody would sacrifice the son. Alright? Many would dedicate their son passing through fire as if they would like some kind of fire and you pass through it. As a form that you give your son to him. That sort of thing. But there will be time when kings, you know, those who trust pagan worship will burn or sacrifice their newborn son. Alright, in the fire. And that's how terrible it really is. You see? So, he has followed the way of the heathen. Now, just to have an idea of these idols, we look at the idols, some of this worship. You know what a Baal look like? Now, Baal could be anything. Baal, it's a very common name for general God. That we say we use the word Cern, or just a God, you know. It could be anything. So Baal is practically just an idol. It looks like that, or it could be any other form. You can find it a whole lot on the internet. But the other one is that Moloch, the frame, where you have the sacrifice, you see, how did they were sacrificed? It looks actually is a cow or bull, Chemosh. Alright? And they will sacrifice the sun in the fire. And they will worship. You know? So nobody knows how the kind of the statue looked like, what, but because in any way you can go to any pagan temple and or look at any idols, there will always be variation. You understand? Variations of it. Even in Christianity, the variation of the ideas what God looks like, you know, as a Trinity. Huh? Some will have a statue with three heads, huh? You know, or three heads, three faces on one head, and some will have, three beings sitting side by side. You know, so it's the imagination of man, that kind of imagination, and that's what the problem is. So they imagine all this, and so they worship these gods. So let us turn over to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 28, verse 1, and we continue from there. For there is a gap in this place here. Verse 5. 2 Chronicles, chapter 28. Or if you just want to read verse 1 onward, you say, Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years, did that what? He did not do that which was right in the eyes of the Lord like his father, for he walked in the ways of the king of Israel and made also molten images for Baalim. Baalim means Puro or Baal. Moreover, he burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burned his children in the fire after the abomination of Hinnom whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And that's where all the Canaanites, remember they were told to enter the land and get rid of all these evil nations before them. And they were the one, the Canaanites, the Philistines, they were the one that worshipped this kind of a god. Alright, Baal worship, sacrifices to their god Moloch, Chemosh. He sacrificed also and burned incense in the high place. Now, you know, other kings don't do that. All the people in Judah, yeah, they will go in these high places, means all these pagan shrines, and they will offer their incense and worship those idols. Kings don't do that. But he's the only one king that did that. And so by his example, he is, in fact, have a great influence upon the population of the people in Judah. To that, well, you see, the king is doing, was doing that, or is doing that, so let us do it. You see? So because he sacrificed also and burned incense in high places on the hill and under every green tree. Of course, you can find in Asia too, huh? Under every trees, some kind of banyan trees or whatever tree, coconut tree, maybe whatever, you find a shrine there. And you worship. Is that right? Okay? Wherefore the Lord his God delivered him to the hand of the king of Syria and they smote him. Now because of what Ahaz did, God has to to deal with him. And so now he allowed the king of Syria not only to attack Israel in the north, but also to come down all the way to Judah and attack Judah. And so this is the beginning of the time of the captivity that is soon to come. And the king of Israel, that they smote him and carried away a great multitude of them captive and brought them to Damascus. And he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Syria, who smote him with a great slaughter. And Pekah the son of Remaliah slew in Judah 120,000 in one day. So even as the king of Syria came down and fight against Israel, and Israel came down also to fight against Judah, some of the soldiers from Assyria took captive some of the citizens of Judah. And even Israel came down and fought against them and killed 120,000. And not only that, let's see what happened, he says here, which were all valiant men, because they have forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. And let's remember this when we read this, that God, if he had chosen the children of Israel, he must deal with them. Because if he has chosen them, they are supposed to be his children. And God does not have bastard children. He must deal with them. And if God has chosen you and me, remember, God will have to deal with us. Huh? You don't say that, oh, we want the goodness of God, we want to be children of God, and we can do anything we want. Oh, no, no, no. If you want to do anything you want, if God doesn't choose you, you can do anything you want, because God couldn't care. Because when he chose, he made a covenant with Israel, he made a covenant with us, that you are my people and I am your God. So that's why he was serious about these things. You understand that? Alright? And so here is what it is, because they have forsaken the Lord God, the Yahweh Elohim of their father. And Zikri, a mighty man of Ephraim, slew Maaseiah, the king's son, and Azricam, the governor of the house, and Elkanah that was next to the king. Now here we look at it, eh? We just need to know. You see here, there was this mighty man from Ephraim, from Israel, that came down to slew the king's son. Who's king? Which king? King Ahaz. Now how old was King Ahaz when he ruled? Just look into verse 1. 20 years old when he began to rule, right? Now if 20 years he began to rule and he ruled 16 years, it means that if he died at 36 years old. Okay? Now he said here that this mighty man slew the king's son. Was it that this king's son, was he fighting out there? It cannot be, because he must be very young then if he went out fighting. Isn't it? Isn't that right? Okay? So, but later on we'll see that the age contains, what we see in the age here, we are only speculating here, that if King Ahaz was on the throne at 20 years old, let's say that 10 years later at the age of 30, how old was the son? He must be just a teenager. Is it? But if he married younger than that, the son would have been already of soldiering age. Isn't it? Alright, let's just read. And the children of Israel carried away captive. You see, not only the children, not only a Syrian soldier took away captive, but also the children of Israel, they came down, fought against Judah, their own brethren, and took captive of them 200,000 men, women, sons and daughters, and took away also much spoil from them, and brought the spoil to Samaria. Remember their capital up there in the north? But a prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Odad, and he went out before the host that came to Samaria and said unto them, behold, because the Lord God of your father was wroth with Judah, he hath delivered them into your hand, and you have slain them in rage, they reach up into heaven, and now you propose to keep under the children of Judah and Jerusalem for born men and born women unto you, but are they not with you, even with you, sins against the Lord your God. Now hear me, therefore, and deliver the captives again, which you have taken captives of your brethren, for the fierce wrath of God is upon you. Now here is what happened. When this children of Israel army came down from the north, they went down south to Jerusalem and all the surrounding city and war against them, because God allowed them to do it, so that he would deal with Judah. But they not only slew 120,000 mighty men, but took 200,000 women, children, old men, and brought them back to their city in Samaria. So as they were coming to Samaria city, this prophet saw them, and he began to prophesy. He said, wow, is it not enough for you already what God has given to you to handle Judah into your hands so that he may deal with them? But what have you done? You have not only slaughtered so many thousands of people, whose cry went up to heaven, but now you are taking these children, women, and make them your slave and your born men. Are they not your brethren? And he said, now you better deliver them. Let them go. Now hear me therefore, and deliver this captive again, which you have taken captive of your brethren. For fierce wrath of God is again is come upon you. Then certain of the heads of the children, certain of the principal men or princes, all the children of Ephraim, Azariah, the son of Johanan, Berechiah, the son of Meshilimoth, and Jehaskiah, the son of Shalom, and Amasah, the son of Hadalai, stood up against them that came from the war. So those principal men in Samaria, when they saw this, so they came back with all these 200,000 men and women and children, and heard what the prophet said. They stood up against these soldiers who brought these children back, and said unto them, you shall not bring in the captive hither. For whereas you have offended against the Lord already, you intend to add more to our sins and to our trespass, for our trespass is great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel. So the armed men left the captives and the spoil before the princes and all the congregation. And the men which were expressed by name rose up, that means those princes who stood against this army that brought the children of Judah home, and took the captive, and with the spoiled clothes all that were naked among them, and arrayed them, and shocked them, and gave them to eat and to drink, and anointed them, and carried all the fever of them upon asses, and brought them to Jericho, the city of palm trees, to their brethren. Then they returned to Samaria. You see, at least now they hearken to the voice of the prophet, and the princes will begin to realize that Israel already has full of problems, because God was against them also, for the wrath is upon them. Now they realized it and told them, don't add to our burden. Now you can just try to fathom this. You imagine that these 12 tribes, this is a nation of Israel, they are just one family. But they are 12 siblings, 12 brothers. Alright? And their families and their descendants. And they have such a trouble among themselves. And they will fight each other. Huh? You understand that? And make each other, and make the other captive, make the other servants. You just see how the thing goes. Remember this, that these are natural Israel. They do not have the Holy Spirit. They are not born again. But here we are, as spiritual Israel. Surely we are all one family. We are all of different families too in the physical. But yet, we don't treat each other and never should treat each other in a wrong way, bad or evil. Is that right? Treat each other with the fear of the Lord. You see? Because we all have one father. Not so did the children of Israel have one father. It goes back to their father Israel. It goes back to Isaac. It goes back to Abraham. And it goes back to God who called Abraham. You know. So let us learn this lesson. But at least they clean them up. The word anoint them means that, you know, wash them. The word anoint doesn't mean that you anoint them with oil. Okay? Wash them and clean them up and bless them and send them home. Let us go back to 2 Kings now. And chapter 16 again. Alright, we continue from that incident. This is the next incident that happened and follow after that. Then reason the king of Syria and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to war. Again they came up. And they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him this time. At that time, King Rezin, king of Syria, recovered Elah to Syria, and drove the Jews from Elah, and the Syrian came to Elah, and dwelt there unto this day. You know where Elah is, don't you? It's in the port. Remember the port? Right down in the south that belongs to the part of the nations of Edom. Alright, not this one. Alright, that point is very significant because right over here at this junction here, this port, it's very significant, very important for trading. Okay, for nations to take the ship out to another country nearby and to buy and sell. And so this Syria king and took hold of that and brought that place into his control. So Ahaz sent messenger to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I am thy servant and thy son. Oh, he had become so, he stood himself so low. Remember, he was a wicked king, the worst king of Judah. He had come to this place where he stood so low to a pagan king. And he said that I am your servant, not only your son, I am your son. You see? And come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Syria. And now, you know, remember Syria is one nation, huh? Which is in the north of Israel. Assyria is for the northeast of Syria. Alright? And he says that, please help me and save me out of the hand of the king of Syria and out of the hand of the king of Israel, which rise up against me. And our house took the silver and the gold that was found in the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king's house, and sent it for a present to the king of Syria. He takes something which is not even his. If from his own palace is one thing, but they took it from the house of God. Those gold that are there, those treasures that are there, they're all dedicated to the temple, for the work of the temple, for the repair of the temple, for the dedication of the temple, decoration of the temple, whatever is supposed to be used that belongs to the Lord. But he took it, and he presented it to the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria hearkened unto him. For the king of Assyria went up against Damascus, and took it, and carried the people of it captive to Kir, and slew Rezin. So, well, he came down, fought against the king of Syria, took the captive up there to Kir, in his own land, Assyria, a city up there. And King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and saw an altar. Now, hear how bad this king is. He went up to Damascus to go and meet this king of Assyria. When he went there, he saw an altar that was at Damascus, and the king Ahaz sent to Uriah, the priest, the pattern of the design or the fashion of the altar, and the pattern of it according to all the workmanship thereof. Well, he went there, he saw this beautiful altar. So he looked at the design, you know, had the design written down and drawn on the paper, whatever, and sent it back by a messenger to Uriah, the priest, and asked him to build one like that. That's a pagan altar, you know, because he fancy it looked more beautiful. Did you know what we are having it today in modern day in the churches too? That there are churches that outdo other churches in the same district or the same perhaps province, huh? You know, there are countries they are like that. In America, you probably in Europe, you can see that a church maybe by whatever denomination have built such a way and it looks nice. And then down the road, 1 or 2 kilometer road, and now denominations say, okay, we are building much better than that, so they design all that. Okay? And the same thing, you know, some people like another person's pulpit and design the way they want to design the copy and whatever. People tend to have all this copycat thing. But that's a pagan altar. He looked at the design, he liked it. And Uriah the priest, well, I guess that this one has no backbone. This priest has no backbone. Fear the king, and after all, perhaps he was so a bad king, maybe like Ahab, you know, will not seek to perhaps kill you, though we have never read a record of that. But he says that Uriah the priest built out the altar according to order the king Ahab has sent from Damascus. So Uriah the priest make it against the king Ahab came from Damascus. So when he built it, Ahaz came from Damascus. By the time he came, and when the king was come from Damascus, the king saw the altar and approached the altar and offered thereupon. He was so happy, he was jumping for joy. That's a beautiful altar. He said, let me offer my offering now. And he offered his offering upon him. He burned his burnt offering, his meat offering, poured out his drink offering, and sprinkled the blood of his peace offering upon the altar. And he brought also the brazen altar which was before the Lord from the forefront of the house, from between the altar and the house of the Lord, and put it on the north side of the altar. And the king Ahaz commanded Uriah the priest, saying, upon the great altar burn the morning burnt offering and the evening meat offering and the king's burnt sacrifice and his meat offering with the burnt offering of all the people of the land, and their meat offering and their drink offering, and sprinkle upon it all the blood of the burnt offering and all the blood of the sacrifice and the brazen altar shall be for me to inquire by. Alright, let's look at it. Look at the Solomon's temple. Okay, and we'll see what he did with this. So this is the Solomon's temple. This is the drawing. Now that's east, facing east. Alright, that's the entrance. From there, you go right in. This is the pillar that supports the temple that you go right inside here. Okay, very similar structure here, as you can see, the Tabernacle of Moses. Alright? So here you have an altar. Here is the sea, or brazen sea. That sea means a lot of water. It's just a boat that holds water. Now this is the altar here. So what he did was that he placed his altar, okay, in front of this altar. Okay? Now, because by putting in front of this altar, whoever comes in, approaching, will see the altar, the one that he had Uriah built. And said, upon this altar you shall put and do all the burnt offering of all the people. But you know what? He says, I'm going to inquire. Whatever problem I need to inquire of the Lord, that altar will become my oracles. You know, this is where I'm going to inquire from the Lord. Okay, so now he's telling the priest what to do. Thus the Urijah, the priest, according to all that the king commanded, and King Ahaz cut off the border of the bases, and removed the labor from off them, and took down the sea from off the brazen oxen that were under it, and put it upon a pavement of stones. Now let us look at the brazen sea. Now, brazen labor. Now this, the brazen labor, this is, nobody actually know how it looks like. Because the way the Bible described it, nobody really know. By describing, you try to imagine how it looks like. So the thing that it was like this, of course the Bible did say that it was on 12 oxen, 3 facing one direction, 3 facing the other direction. Okay? And that is big basin of water, very big. Alright. And this basin of water is for the priests to clean themselves before they do the service. Now let's look at another one. You see, this is the one, another one, and that's why you have it on top here. So, this is not on the ground. But some believe that this should be on the floor. But then the Bible also describes some other, but it's a bath. So people can get in, the water flows down from there, and they wash themselves. Some believe that the priests go in there and cleanse themselves, as like you bath. So it's very hard to really see from the Bible how they, you know, because in history, historians try to describe what they was passed down, what they received. So more or less, the image that they have was more like this. That's all. Okay? So what he did was that he cut off the border of the bases and removed the labor. Labor is this big basin from off it. Alright? Took down the sea from the basin of oxen that was under it and put it upon a pavement of stone. And the covert for the Sabbath that they had built in the house and the king's entry without, turned he from the house of the Lord for the king of Assyria. So, even the covered walkway, there is a place where there has a canopy, where it was built for the king to sit there when they're having some kind of sacrifice, or for the priests as they take their turn to do their sacrifice. Alright, this one nobody actually know beyond what else is used. So, he even took it and had it built in the house, and the king's, and turned that from the house of the Lord for the king of Israel. Took all that away, took whatever he wanted from the temple, and gave it to the king of Assyria. Alright, now, the rest of the act of Ahaz, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of King of Judah? And Ahaz slept with his father, and was buried with his father in the city of David. And Hezekiah, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, we do not know what Ahaz died of. There was no mention in the Bible. And initially, I couldn't find what he died of. Whether he died natural death, whether he died in a battle, or what. Not mentioned. All that we know is that He was a king at 20, and he ruled for 16 years. Therefore, he died at the year at the age of 36. So right now, let us go to 2 Chronicles 28 and verse 16. 2 Chronicles 28, verse 16. At that time, did King Ahaz send unto the king of Syria, Assyria, to help him. Now, this will be continued where before he died. For again, the Edomites had come and smitten Judah and carried away captive. Now, because of the sin of Ahaz, that drew the people to worship all these Baal gods and Moloch and Chemosh, God did not only bring down Assyria to attack, Judah. Not only he brought down these children of Israel, but he also brought the Edomites and also the Philistines. And the Edomites came and smitten Judah and carried away captive. Verse 18, the Philistines also had invaded the city of the low country and of the south of Judah and had taken Bashemath and Ajalon and Gederoth and Shokoth with the village thereof and Tibnah with the village thereof and Gimzo. Also in the villages thereof and the dwell there. Now let's see. Look at the map of Canaan. And you see where this Philistine dwell. You all know where the Philistine dwell. The Philistine dwell in this area here. Okay? Now, what this Bible here said, we know that they invade the lower country. They invade all these places. These are the land. Here we have the country here. Bashemath, Tibnah, Chesalon, okay, Ajalon here. These are the lower country. Now, so the Philistines came off and attacked them and took over this place. Gederoth is over here. And then over down on the other side, the Edomite came and attacked from the south. So this was a bad time. The worst time that the kingdom of Judah ever experienced. Because of this king Ahaz. Alright? For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Judah. For he had made Judah naked. Now, in your King James Version, New King James, it says Israel. Right? Your King James says Israel. It's wrong. That's another error. It's the king of Judah. Because Ahaz was the king of Judah. Some people believe that Israel was right, because they are trying to interpret to say that King Ahaz of Judah behaved like the king of Israel. So God referred to him as a king of Israel. That's not how God do write his Bible. Even the Hebrew Bible don't write it like that. Hebrew Bible show it as Judah. Alright? For the Ahaz, king of Judah, had made Judah sin and transgressed Saul against the Lord. That's why I said this before. You know the Bible, the way it was written. If it means one thing here, it means the same thing over there. Alright? If this is the king of Judah, it cannot be the king of Israel. If it is so, God would have to make you aware that it is so. Do you see that? You understand that, don't you? Okay, for example, as we read just a minute or two on this. While we read the Bible, the sons of God look upon the daughters of men. Now, we know that the word men in the Bible, daughters of men, refer to the woman of Canaan, right? Yes or no? It said daughters of men, M-E-N, M-E-N. Now, in the same passage of Genesis 6, it says that, and God looked upon the earth, and said, my spirit will no longer strive with men, right? Now, the word men is M-A-N, not M-E-N. Okay, so now we have the lead apostle trying to say that, you see, God no longer called the sons of God, sons of God. He called them men, just like the Kenite. That is not right. Because the plurality use of God, or God using plural words, against singular word, show that there is a difference. Singular word means mankind. Men, M-E-N, plurality are used for the reference to the Kenite. Because after the flood, there is no more Kenite. And this one, daughters of men were never used in that form. You understand? So we have mankind, men. So you see how God used the Bible is, when God put the words there, God doesn't change his mind and confuse people. You understand? If a cat is a cat, he'll always be a cat. It's not a dog. You got it? Just because a cat start to meow, I mean start to bow wow, then you better think twice. Maybe he has a little, what we call just for laugh gag is around. You understand that? Huh? Okay. Let's go on. And verse 20. Tigal-Pilneser, king of Assyria, came unto him and distressed him, but strengthened him not. So, you know, he doesn't come down to really, strengthen him anymore. He distressed him now. For Ahaz took away a portion of the house of the Lord and of the house of the king and of the prince and gave it unto the king of Assyria, but he helped him not. And in the time of his distress did he trespass yet more against the Lord. This is that king, Ahaz. Oh my. You just imagine when Ahaz is already in a mess because of what he did in the worship of Baal, being a bad king, did what he took from the house of the Lord, okay? And he go and went up there and called other nations to help him. But since he was not helped, he became more upset, and because he was more distressed, he trespassed more. How many of you feel so frustrated at times that you become more rebellious? Oh yeah. Remember this. I went through a time like this before. And I believe that you young people, some of young people are going through like this. You are distressed, you are frustrated, the more that you become more rebellious. Yes. Back in the, what year was that? I can't think, back in the 50s, I believe. In America, it's a time of the rebels. They use the word rebels. Young men, young people, young girls, young boys. The rebel against the family, they go into the spirit, you know, rebel against the authority. Just how we see, you know, in the back, in some years back, we have Michael Fair here, and that kind of spirit. Rebel against the parent, against the school, against the authority, vandalize things here and there because you're frustrated, whatever, distressed up. And when you're caught, there are people just like that, when they're caught for the crime that they commit, small crime, maybe shoplifting, you know, and put in the jail for a day or two, or maybe pay a hefty fine. They get very upset. So they do it again. And this time more bold than the last time. When they are caught, the picture is in the newspaper. When they had served their sentence, they came out. They dare to do further thing. They just rebel. They trespassed again. And many Christians are like that. You know, they never sit and think. Do you understand that? Today I was reading the newspaper on the way. There was this article written about, you know, those people about religion. Say, now don't worry about God. There's no God. Just live your life. You know? Say, it doesn't mean that you have to believe in a God so that you live a good life. He said, there are many people. I mean, these are from those, what they call Humanity Association. Say, we don't believe in God of gods. But yet we order our life properly. Because we only want our life to live, and we want to live it to the fullest. Yet we can live a good life and set good example. You see? So, but then when you die, what happened? What then? Whatever I ask a question, what is your reason for your appearance on this earth? We are built, we are created far, far higher than any other creature on this earth. And you tell me that we are by chance here for nothing. Huh? The animal life are so far apart from the life of mankind. Man can think, can build and all these things. If we can build. Now, I read in an article, somebody sent me an email anyway, and I looked at the article and read it, but I don't know where he got the fact. He said the scientists have, this Big Bang theory, the Bang Bang theory. Now all these things come by chance, boom, one day, and then, you have metal, don't know what else, your gas come out, and hydrogen, oxygen, and ions, and krypton, and whatever. They move around for millions and millions and millions of years, then they can form, mix, and then you have planet, mix, you have water, mix, come out little creatures on the planet, mix some more, and then the creature gets bigger and bigger, and get mixing, whoa, what comes up? Become human. And now this article said that they actually, the theory that was there, they have actually created it. They have created a bang, a big bang. You see, and the brother who said to me, I said, that's good for a laugh, that's a good theory, but where is the fact? You know, until it is proven, where is the fact? You know, there's a lot of theory. I said, just like, it was a sister anyway who sent it to me. I said, wow, that's a big laugh because Pluto. You know Pluto? This is what's the tenth planet, right? Huh? The ninth planet. It's not a planet. Now they say maybe it's a star, I don't know what else, and this and that. Wow! Imagine that. If the scientists cannot look even to see what Pluto is within our solar system, huh? Of course the telescope can look into all those nebula, the black hole, and the white hole, and the green hole. I don't care what hole they're looking at. And they can come up with all the theories. But yet, Pluto is within our solar system, and they say it's a planet. It was a planet, but now it's no longer a planet. It is not supposed to be a star. Is that right? What else? This is what they say. You see? So, they have a good theory. So now they said they have they created a Big Bang. So if this Big Bang was true, then God is not true. God is not real. Brother and sister, you come out from some gas. No, I don't think the gas produce us. We produce gas. That's what we do. Gas don't produce us. But that's what they're trying to say. All these things come out like that. You just imagine this thing. My brother and sister, I know that I am because I know that there is somebody who made me. And the Bible is what tells us. And it has been proven that the Bible is scientifically proven that it cannot be written by man. It's impossible. Huh? Numerically, it has been proven that it is not possible. You see. And we know that the miracle, the thing that was there, was given us the answer. It tells us where we come from. And this is what the importance of knowing the truth about the original sin, the serpent sin. That's why we are here today the way we are. Without those revelation and understanding, yeah, we just have a religion. Brother and sister, I say this one thing. It's not a religion. It's not my religion. Because there's only one true religion, and that's God's religion. When man fell, that's when God redeemed us. God bring out the plan to redeem us. That's when the word religion comes from religo. To bind back his people back to himself. You understand that? That's why God shed blood and clothed Adam and Eve. And they have to offer that sacrifice to remember what God did. That is the only way for God to bind you back, for you to return back to God. But Cain came along? No. I don't want no blood. I don't want no animal. What did he offer to God? Vegetables. Huh? That's all. It's good. It's good. Healthy. Take vegetable, no animal, healthy. So maybe that is this. You know, that's what religion, create all sorts of things today. Alright, let's go on here. So let us not get all frustrated. We know that we are sometimes do that, but don't be like Ahaz, this King Ahaz. Alright, in his time of his distress, he did trespass yet more against the Lord. And the Bible here said, this is that King Ahaz. You know, to emphasize that. No other kings like him. Verse 23, for he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him. And he said, because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, therefore will I sacrifice to them that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. Isn't that funny, huh? You worship a god who smote you. Just because those the country of Syrian worship this God, and you think because the God helped the Syrian. Alright? So, and this God of the Syrian smoked me, well, I better go and worship him. That kind of mentality. That's how some people who have no spiritual understanding, no true revelation in religion, they were all, were what we call, give you all the reasoning. A carnal reasoning. You see? And all we call superstition. Right? You know what superstition is? That's right. That's what it is. You know? I've heard so often from superstitious people. They say, don't say anything like this. You pass there. Remember this, this, this. You know? Don't walk under, you know, don't walk under any underwears. That sort of stuff. I remember that thing. Huh? You will be unlucky if you, especially the under woman's underwear. You know why it's always pertaining to the woman's underwear? It's because of the menstruation blood. Which we know not in the Bible, which the Bible talks about. Huh? Even those women who during their menstruation cannot go into the house of the Lord in worship in the Old Testament time. You see? And also in pagan world, in, you know, a religious world, this thing is supposed, not supposed to be. You have an underwear that is enough to dry hang above you, and then you cannot walk underneath. That's something odd. You see? And that supposedly come into play in many forms, especially into a person's life and treat as a religion. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of the Lord and cut in pieces the vessel of the house of God and shut up the door of the house of the Lord, and he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. Now see how frustrated he was now. He had trespassed more. He started to break down, you know, into pieces the vessel of the house of the Lord, shut up the door and so on. And he built altar in every corners of Jerusalem. And in every several city of Judah, he made high places to burn incense unto other gods. And provoked to anger the Lord God of his father. See that? Alright, shut down the temple and cut down everything. Now build our altars in the city of Jerusalem. And so he asked the people, this is where you worship. Went out there in the countryside, build all these shrines and ask people to worship. Wow. Alright. And the rest of the Ekbal, you know, he slept with his father. And his son Hezekiah reigned in his stead. No, he didn't say any how he died. That's the thing about it. Now, as you go to 2 Kings, chapter 17, and close with that chapter, we realize that Hezekiah was the king of Judah. When he was reigning, he reigned 6 years before the northern kingdom fell to the kingdom of Assyria. Alright? 2 Kings, chapter 17. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Osiah, the king, the son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel. Now, do you know how that Hosiah became king? Okay, let's go back to chapter 15. Alright, verse 30, where we read. 2 Kings 15:30. And Hosiah the king of Elah made a conspiracy against Pekah the son of Remaliah, and smote him and slew him and reigned in his stead. You see that? Because that's the northern kingdom. Alright. Now let's look at the chart here of the kings. And you know that Hosiah would be the last king now. He is the last king. Okay? Pekah here. So he is the last king. Got it? Now, but it was during Hosiah's time, of course, the main king, that when the Assyrian came and took them captive. Alright? And when the northern kingdom was taken captive, right, and here we have Hezekiah. Hezekiah, of course, reigned 6 years before he saw the kingdom of the north taken into captivity. Now, of the two kingdoms, the northern and the southern kingdom, the northern kingdom is the worst of all. Do you understand? It is the worst of all. Let us look at the map of Canaan. So that I give you an understanding as to these tribes. Now, when the kingdom split into two, all right, we have 10 kingdoms. They're considered the northern kingdom, called Kingdom of Israel. But the southern kingdom is actually the Bible called the Kingdom of Judah. Now, actually, Judah is the main tribe. But Benjamin tribe was very faithful to Judah's tribe. And they joined him. But while they are down here in Judah, this region here belonged to Simeon. Got it? It belonged to Simeon, the tribe of Simeon. And of course, some of the Simeon, in fact, some of the Manasseh, Ephraim, Gadai, Zebulun, all these, some of these from different tribes, they are actually living around here. And actually, you know, are faithful to God for what the kingdom of Judah offer in worship to the Lord and faithful to God. You understand that? Not that totally we say all are Judah. This is not true. That all are Benjamin here. That is not true. There will always be some from different tribes that agree with Judah, spiritually, religiously, when and join them in the kingdom and worship and support them. Okay? Alright, let's continue here quickly now. And in the 12 years of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hosea, the son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the king of Israel that were before him. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hosea became his servant and gave him presents. And the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hosea, for he had sent messenger to Saul, king of Egypt, and brought no present to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Well, that's how it is. The king of Israel has been paying tribute to the king of Assyria every year. But this one time, the king of Assyria considered it conspiracy because he did not pay his tribute. So shut him up. And verse 5 said, the king of Assyria, that is the same king, Shalmaneser, came up through all the land, and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. In the 9th year of Hosea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Halah and Haboth by the river of Gozan and in the city of the Medes. Well, that is where all the river flows, and that's where all in the land of Assyria. Alright, brought them all back there. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which have brought them out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and have feared other gods, and walked in the statue of the heathen, whom God cast out from before the children of Israel, and out of the king of Israel, which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the God their Lord, the Lord their God. And they built them high places in their city, from the tower of the watchmen to the fan city. Now that's a recalling here by the kings as a sum up as to the nation of Israel. God put them out of Egypt. Alright? Give them this land. To chase them out, the people out of the land of Canaan, tell them not to fear any other gods. But instead, they secretly worship this God and walk not in the way of the statue of God. Alright? But instead, the statue of the heathens. Alright, and so what they did, they built high places in the city, and also, of course, in the countryside. And not only that, built all this tower, unnecessary tower, which after a while, you know, became some sort of sacred shrine to them anyway. And they set them up images on groves in every high hill and under every green tree. Yeah, we see that all in many country that still practice and believe in paganism. And there they burn incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they serve idols whereof the Lord had said to them, you shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from them your wicked ways, and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their father, that they did not believe in the Lord their God. You see, they just hardened. You know what the Bible uses the word neck? They hardened their neck. You know, it refers to like the cow or the cattle, where the yoke is put on our neck. Now when you put a yoke upon your neck, it's supposed that you are supposed to walk with the other yoke beside the other cattle beside you, the cows beside you. Alright? And follow the instruction of the driver. Alright, the one who rides the car. Now, they are not submissive. The yoke is a representation of a submission, but it is put on your neck for you to carry. Is that right? Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Is that right? And learn of me. It's easy. Because taking the yoke, you are learning to be disciplined by the word of God. Jesus Christ was disciplined. Jesus Christ learned from the Lord. And we are supposed to learn from Christ. Take his yoke upon us and learn of him and walk. But this one, no, they hardened their neck. They just refused to walk and be disciplined by God, just like their forefather. And he says, continue here, and they rejected his stature and his covenant that he made with their fathers and his testimony which is testified against them. What testimony did God give them? Well, you know, when they were in Egypt, right? Miracles of the miracles and the covenant that God made with them, is that right? Yes. God gave them the law, God gave them so many things. And yet they never keep his testimony. And they followed the vanity and became vain and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God and make them molten images, even the two calves, and make a group and worship all the hosts of heaven and serve Baal. All the hosts of heaven. What did they worship? They should worship the moon, the stars, Jupiter, Saturn, whatever you have. Pleiades, right? And all these constellations. And they caused their son and their daughter to pass through the fire, use divination, enchantment, sow themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke them to anger. Remember this, they also practice what? Oh, like we all Chinese, keep pokwa. Huh? You know what pokwa is? Fortune telling. Go to the temple and shake a bunch of sticks. Huh? Oh, read my palm. Oh, yeah. This line here goes up to the hole, so all your money is going to go out. If the line here goes through here, it means you have a lot of money. And all that nonsense. Oh, look at it. Oh, you got how many? Line here, one, two. It means you have two sons, two children. That's what they tell you. All this, you know. Read your tarot cards. Read your own, whatever you read. Read your tea leaves. Take a drink of tea. Drink it up and you can read it. What imagination is that? You know, it takes the mind to imagine and come up with that. All this divination stuff. And enchantment. And that's why, you know, if the Hollywood make it very popular for young people to see. All this magic. Harry Potter. Avatar. Huh? Because people are enchanted by this fascination. But come on, this real. Come on, all this. This is our imagination. Don't let your mind run wild until these things are real. You're not going to see a blue man. You're not going to see a green little fella with big eyes. Huh? Sure. You're not going to think that if I have a magic wand, pips, and a little dragon will come and do your biting. You know. It's imagination. Sometimes people are trapped in the world. You know. But I guess maybe that's a way to release your stress from your work, maybe. Huh? Alright. And they caused their son and their children to pass through fire and use divination and enchantment and sow themselves to do evil and serve the Lord to provoke him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. And Judah kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statute of Israel which they made. And the Lord rejected all the seeds all the seed of Israel, and afflict them, and deliver them to the hand of the spoiler, until he had cast them out of his sight. Oh my, God must be really angry. Let's go to the book of Hosea, chapter 1, verse 1 to 9, and then we read what Hosea said. Hosea the prophet, or Hosea, chapter 1. If you don't know where it is, it's after the book of Daniel, chapter 1, verse 1 to 9. You see here the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredom, and the children of whoredoms, for the land have committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass at that day, that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again, and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name Loruhamah. For I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel. For I will utterly take them away. And I will have mercy upon the house of Judah. And will save them by the Lord your God, their God. And will not save them by bow, nor by arrow, by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. For when she had weaned Loruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Loami. For you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Loami, you are no longer my people, and I'm not your God. In the day of King Hosea, let's look at the chart. Here we have, right, you look at the chart. We have these prophets, Elijah, Elisha, Amos, Hosea, and there are others to the northern kingdom, where even I still go south to come. And the last king was Hosea. Now when they, with all the promises that were given to them, they would not hear. How fitting it is that Hosea, it's probably the same pronunciation, same name. Hosea is a king and a prophet at the same time. And God said, Loami, you are not my people, and I'm not your God. See how upset God was with them? So let us not trespass against the Lord to God one day. It's so much so that God would despise and reject us. That when we reject His word, He will reject us. The moment we despise His word, He will reject us. Brothers and sisters, we're not living just, you know, like having a religion. This is life to us. This is where God is dealing with us. He's going to get a people. Remember this. He's going to get a people. Put them to the fire. Bring them out as pure gold is refined in the fire. Gems under pressure. Minerals under pressure to create diamonds. Beautiful gems fit for the master's crown. He's not just any Tom, Dick and Harry who can take life easy as if, wow, that's not important now. It's okay, this and that and this that. And don't despise the Lord God. The word means, what the Bible said, it means just what it said. Nothing else. Nothing more. And he rent, for he rent Israel from the house. Let's just go back to 2 Kings 17. For he rent Israel from the house of David. And he made Jeroboam and the son of Nebat king. And Jeroboam drove Israel from following the Lord and make them sin a sin. A great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sin of Jeroboam. Remember the first king of Israel, right? Which he did. They depart not from them. Until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight. As he had said by all his servants, the prophets. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. Now they was carried away by King Shalmaneser. Now what happened when the children of Israel were all taken away to Assyria? What happened to the land? The rest of this chapter talks about it. And the king of Israel brought men from Babylon, from Kotor, and from Ava, from Hamath, from Safavaim, and placed them in the city of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the city thereof. So they went and took men from Babylon, from this other city, which is of course in Assyria, and bring this citizen from there, and said, go, live in Israel. Go, live in Samaria. So they came down and lived there. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Of course, these people were from this Babylon, from this hidden land. They went there and they lived there. And so, of course, they don't know anything about Yahweh. And so, the Bible here said, they fear not the Lord. Therefore, the Lord sent lion among them, which slew some of them. Wherefore, they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, the nation which you have removed and placed in the city of Samaria, know not the manner of the God of the land. Wherefore, he hath sent lion among them, and behold, they slay them, because they know not the manner of the Lord, the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, carry hither one of the priests, whom you brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let him teach them the manner of the God of the land. So now, people say to the king, you know what you did? You took this Assyrian, and I mean the Assyrian citizens are all from these places, and bring them to Samaria to live. But they do not know the God of this land. And because of that, the God of this land sent lion to destroy them. And so the king said, okay, then go and find a priest. Go back to Assyria, find a priest. Okay? And so then bring him down and teach the people know how to worship the God of this land. Now you see how superstitious people really are, huh? You understand or not? They think that, I need to, whenever I go to a certain land, I must get to know the God of that land. Do you understand that? According to the way that this land of Israel belonged to Yahweh. And that's the reason why the Bible brings out this thing. That when you come to the land of Israel, you need to know the God of Israel. Do you understand that? Yes or no? Sure. It's no use for us to go to Israel and have a tour in Israel when you don't even know Yahweh. Do you understand? People go there to tour because they know the God of Israel, what happened there, who is Jesus, and they want to have a knowledge of it and walk there. And one of the priests who had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel. Of course, he must be from Bethel. That's why he went on and lived in Bethel. And taught them how they should fear the Lord. How did every nation make gods of their own? Anyway, still, you teach them the God of Yahweh, of the land here in Israel. They still will worship their own gods. Every nation make gods of their own. Put them in the houses of the high places, which the Samaritans have made. Every nation in their city where we dwell. The men of Babylon make Sokobinu, and the men of Kurth make Nigal, and the men of Hamath make Ashima. Okay, very interesting. This Babylon make Sokobinu. What is that? It's actually, they make a tent, and there's some kind of gods inside their goddesses where when they worship they have some kind of sexual thing going on. Okay? And those from Kath make Naga. Naga is a rooster, or cock, or cockerel. Alright, they worship this rooster as the god. You ever see people worship, anyway, this fowl? You have the peacock, huh? Okay? Alright. And the man of Hamath make Ashima. Ashima is supposed to be a hairless goat. A goat that has no hair, they worship. Okay? Alright. And the Avite make Niphos, some kind of dog. They worship dog. Just like Egyptian. What did the Egyptian worship? What's that? Cat and what else? Something look like a fox. Is it a fox or a wolf? Huh? What's that? A jackal. That's right. You see. And also the scarab. Huh? Some kind of beetle. Sort of thing. See? So they worship all kind of strange things. Dung beetles also they worship. And this is a donkey. Some kind of image of a donkey. And I either look like a donkey. And the Sapphathite burn their children in the fire. This is like a Moloch, huh? Worshipping the god Moloch. To Adrammelech and Anammelech, which of course Melech means king, you know, God, king, and the gods of Sapphaim. So they fear the Lord and make unto themselves of the lowest of them priests. So, because they fear Yahweh of the land, okay, so they just choose anybody of their like, they like the lowest of them, make them priests of the high places, which sacrifice for them in the houses of the high places. They fear the Lord and serve their own God, after the manner of nations whom they carry away from thence. Yeah. The Christian, they fear God, but they go and serve something else. You all know that, don't you? The Christian do that, don't they? Yeah. They worship, they fear God, but they have their own idea. They worship Mary, and they worship the saints, and whatever else they do. You see? That's not, you don't have your own, you shouldn't contribute your ideas to it. Unto this day, they do after the former manners, they fear not the Lord, neither do they after their statute or after their ordinances, or after the law and the commandments which the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, you shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourself to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, him shall you fear, and him shall you worship, and to him shall you do sacrifice. And the statute and the ordinance and the law and the commandment which he wrote for you, you shall observe to do forevermore, and you shall not fear other gods. And the covenant that I have made with you, you shall not forget, neither shall you fear other gods. But the Lord your God you shall fear, and you shall deliver, and he shall deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. Howbeit, they did not hearken, but they did after their former manner. So this nation feared the Lord, served their graven image, bore their children, and their children's children as did their father, so they do unto this day. What this passage says is just comparing. To Israel, God has called them. Fear no other God, serve me. Right? But they didn't do it. And the same thing with this nation, they came down. They were taught to fear Yahweh. Okay? Yeah, they said they fear. But they worship their own idol. Likewise. Do you understand? What does that show? That we all, the human beings, are carnal. Or all we have all vain imagination. Just like what Genesis 6 says. You see, men become more wicked, and their imagination and thoughts were more and evil continually. Is that right? But brother and sister, we are no longer, we shouldn't be any more carnal. Because within us, we are the Spirit of God. We should have a spiritual mind, be being spiritual minded. So whatever we look at and think, alright, we should discern and meditate upon what the Word of God says. So that we can know what is true, what is false, what is right, what is wrong. Huh? What is the truth and what is the error. And we will not follow the ways of the world. And may God bless every one of us with the spiritual blessing. May He give us all that which pertains to life, as the Holy Spirit has given to us, given us this anointing, given us this unction to be able to know truth, to understand it. Amen? God bless all of you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, praise you, Lord, for word of life, for the truth, and for the blessing that we receive from you, Father. We ask for your grace continue again, Lord. Oh, grace, grace, more grace, Father. That's all that we ask of you in this world that we live in now, Father, in this we see all that pertains, O Lord, to this life where men concern with themselves, what they can gain, Father, of the treasures of the world, of fame and fortune, Lord. But we pray, Lord, that our life be the opposite of all this that's going on, that knowing that this world is not our home, it's just passing through. And the Lord, that we continue, Father, walking in the light of Thy Word, that we know where we are heading for, and we know that we have a home, and that, Lord, we are looking for it to come. And we thank You, Father, for Your grace now, asking, O Lord, continual blessing upon our life, and see us through, until we see Christ face to face. In Jesus' name, Lord, amen.